Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I have in with me in studio Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, good to see you.
Dr. Alice Benton.
Hey, happy to be back with you two.
It's great to see you guys.
And we're glad to be with you all today.
Thank you. And to start us off, Larry, you have a few things to share with us.
Yeah, I do. Thanks, Chris. Yesterday I announced, I want to repeat it, that in next year, in 2020, our ministry trip will be a river cruise, an AMA Waterways cruise that's going from Amsterdam to Basel, Switzerland. And it goes through Germany, a little bit of France, ends up in Switzerland, starts in the Netherlands. It's going to be a great trip. Milan Jurkovic is going to speak at this with Steve Arterburn. We have a theme based on Psalm 145. It'll be proclaiming God's greatness. There are 78 cabins on the ship, and 38 of those cabins are spoken for already. So we need you to sign up early if you're going to sign up, because it's going to sell out, and it'd be really helpful if you don't miss that opportunity. We would love to have you on this trip. Let's see. What else? There was something else. Oh, the dates, September 28th to October 5th. That's 2020. I know it's a year away, but that's how these river cruises are that popular. So please figure signing up.
Yeah, if I can jump in, the trips that we take are truly, we talk about transformative experiences, and that's what New Life and our workshops provide. For me, being able to go on this last trip to Israel, it was such a transformative experience. And it's not just the speakers or the sites, but the people that are a part of these trips add to such great just camaraderie and connection and experience. And it's hard to describe, but yeah. I would not let this pass by.
Sure, you've been on to Israel.
I have. And you know what? You do bond. With the folks that come with us, you build friendships, connections, mm-hmm. And it's, you just kind of get hemmed in together. So
We chartered the entire ship. So, and AMA Waterways is not promoting this on their website or any other way. The only way people learn about this is through New Life. So you'll be with quite a group of New Life people. And to learn about it, just go to our website, newlife.com. We have a banner. We have a banner that shows the detail of the trip. You can click onto a website that gives all the itinerary, who to call. And so I hope you'll do that. The other thing I wanted to share, excuse me, is I want to encourage you to go on August 23rd to see the movie Overcomer. The movie is produced by the Kendrick Brothers. And they've produced a lot of other movies. A couple that come to mind are Courageous and War Room. And now this one, I think this is their best one. It's, you know, we're going to have an interview that airs in a week or two just before the movie. And you'll hear a producer of a movie that's going to be a really big movie, I think, that's going to be a hit. And he's talking about Ephesians, the prayers in Ephesians, and what's going on. I'm thinking, why aren't other movie producers doing this? You know, it's a movie with great themes, not just overcoming, but about identity, about forgiveness. It's got a great story. It's got a twist to the story, some really good acting. We just can't encourage you enough to come see this movie. We love it, and the producers love it if we can go to the movie early. That really supports the numbers and gets the people excited, and we want more people to come. So take a look at that movie, please. August 23rd, it comes out, called Overcomer. We don't want you to miss it.
Well, thank you, Larry, and we'll be right back.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. This is New Life Live. Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn again in the studio with me today. Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Sherry Keffer. You guys ready to do some
work?
We're
ready to rock and roll.
All right,
let's do it.
Let's do some work. Let's help some people. Let's go to Judy in Aztec, New Mexico, listening on Sirius XM. Judy, are you there?
I am here.
Judy, tell us what's going on.
Well, I've been married for 40 years, have a wonderful marriage. My husband has an addiction to chewing tobacco.
Uh-huh.
And you guys talk about smoking all the time, but you never address chewing tobacco.
Okay.
So he doesn't think that he really has a problem, because you talk about cigarettes and cancer and lung cancer and stuff and not the other part.
Oh, that's really convenient that he uses us as part of his denial mechanism to his addiction. How convenient.
Know, isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's awesome. But he has quit so many times.
Yeah.
And this last time he quit for a number of months. But he started back up. He doesn't think anybody knows. He's very secret about it. I know the moment he starts back up,
mm-hmm.
because his personality changes.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Very much so changes. His sons that are 39 and 38 years old can tell you exactly the system he does.
Well, what happens? Like, how does his personality change?
He gets very irritated, I have to have it. I have to now. Agitated.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the need, the just a major personality change. When he was off of it for a long time, he was wonderful. I mean, we have a great marriage. We laugh a lot. And he gets back on it, and you can tell. He goes out to the garage. He spends a lot of time out at the garage, and he comes back, and he's a much nicer person than when he left to go to the garage.
Yes, yeah.
So it changes his personality.
Yeah, that's what nicotine does. It is a drug. It's what we call a mood-altering substance. So, yeah, it'll help him feel better in the moment, but like every form of addiction, what it requires on the front end is nothing, and it gives a lot, but then it on the back end of it, it actually starts taking away everything. And
exactly.
And that's every addiction, you know.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Absolutely. So what's your question for us?
How can I help him see that he is addicted to it? We have two men in our church. My husband's a deacon. The other two men are deacons in our church. And they chew during church. So in his eyes, it's like, well, what's the big deal?
Uh-huh. It's part of the culture, it seems like.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I'm like, well, we don't have a smoking area in our church. Or a drinking area in our church, so they can do that and get away with it because you can't tell that they're doing it. I know that they're doing it.
Yes, yes. But your question for us is, like, what can you do about his addiction, right?
Yes. How can I help him to see that he's really addicted to it?
Okay. Yeah.
And Judy, for the times that he has quit and has had months of sobriety from tobacco, what do you think have been the biggest factors that helped motivate him and helped him to stick with it for that long?
Oh, he took Chantix. He went to the doctor's office without me ever knowing. He took the pills exactly like it told him to tell, you know, how to take them. And he quit fairly easy.
And do you know what motivated him to quit?
I think his grandchildren. Mm. He idolizes his grandchildren, and one of them questioned him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Judy, what do you think has been your best intervention that you've attempted with him, even if it didn't work, your best try to help him stop?
You know, really the last number of months, maybe the last year, I gave it over to the Lord. And I just said, you know, I'm done. You need to handle this. I can't do it anymore. It's been a contention in our marriage the whole 40 years. He gave up drinking 35 years ago, and that was very easy for him. And he will tell people, I gave up drinking 35 years ago, but he can't say, I gave up chewing.
Yeah.
A length of time. He cannot share that with people.
So what prompted you to take it back from God?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been really, really, you know, praying about it. I feel more at peace at this time. It's just I feel like he's deceiving me and his children and our church.
So what if you took a different view on this? What if you just told him that? Is that, let me tell you what bothers me more than you using tobacco. It's that you're using it and hiding it. And that hiding it, that deception, that doing it without me knowing actually really creates a lot of fear in my heart. And it makes me pull away from you and not move more.
It definitely makes me pull away from you.
Yeah, not move more towards you. You know what's crazy about this is my book is called Intimate Deception, and it's on a different type of addiction. It's about sexual acting out. But out of 100 women that I surveyed, I asked a question, and it had to do with sex acts. I said, why both of these things are horribly painful. The sex acts that your husband has done. What is more painful? Those acts, A, or B, the continued patterns of lies and deceit around it. And you know what 65% of the women said?
Deceit.
Mm-hmm. It's that lying, yeah. Because it really is disrespectful, and then we don't know what's going on, and our mind goes to the worst thing. So why don't you try being honest with him? Instead of tippy-toeing around his deception. And why don't you write down some 5, 6, 7 things that the hiding and lying does to you?
Actually, I've done that many, many times, those exact same things. And I think that's the reason this time he's really hiding it more than he ever has.
So you talked to him about hiding, and then he hid more?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
oh,
so yes. Have you talked to him about that? Have you said, why, when I talked to you about that, I was being really vulnerable. Why are you hiding more? Because that makes
because
me...
he knows it's going to make me mad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, right? That's what addiction does.
Yeah.
But, so if that's not working...
exactly.
And if you can't seem to let it go in God's hands, you keep taking it back. I mean, maybe you do need to have a little intervention with family members. Including grandkids.
Oh, his poor sons would rip him.
Well, but, you know, interventions...
It's so funny. It's such a trend.
But interventions are not about ripping somebody.
I know.
Interventions are sweetly, kindly done with the best of intent for somebody else. Is everybody comes and they said, this hurts us because we don't want you to die early. We don't want you to have emphysema.
Well, he has prostate cancer and he's had it for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he was 46 when he was diagnosed. So, and he still works. He's 63. And he loves his job.
Wait a second.
But he has
wait a second.
Job, and I think that's the
Hold on, Judy. Yeah.
Each time we bring an intervention, you know what you do? You start talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of what you're going to do. Every time we've done it. You keep pointing the finger at him and telling us what he's doing and not doing. That is not helping the situation. We're asking you what you are going to do.
And Judy, what Sherry is suggesting through an intervention, it's an appeal to love and to intimacy. It's not ragging on him. It's not raking him over the coals. And maybe it sounds too big when it's chewing tobacco. But come on, that's not that big of a deal. But it as you're calling us, it is such a big deal in your life and your marriage. And every time as you're describing, he goes back into use. It disconnects him from you, from his sons, probably from his grandchildren to some extent. So in an effort to, I think, salvage your marriage and help safeguard your husband's health, getting some counseling from an interventionist about how to do this in a loving way that tends to have the best results, I think it would be an investment in your marriage if you would do this. There's no guarantee how he would react, but interventions that are led by a professional have some of the best likelihood of good results from them.
Yeah, this is not a do-it-yourself at home gig. This is you're going to pay somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to scramble money together out of your grocery money. You're going to put some money, cash, into this, and you're going to hire someone like Alice said who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. And so, Judy, what
would that be like our pastor?
No.
Listen, Judy, a professional who does professional addiction interventions.
Okay.
They're an addiction interventionist.
Yeah. And in fact, if you stay on the line, I know that New Life is connected with some of those, and we'll get you some resources as far as that goes. But I just want to land it here, Judy, is that what we're asking you to do is go from a you towards your husband and switch it towards an I. Not going to your husband, not saying you are, you do this, you do this, you do this. We're asking you to change the power from him to yourself and saying, like, I experience a personality change that I don't like. I experience deceit, which breaks trust with you. So you're asking him, it's like, hey, and when you hide, it's not like he's getting away with anything, right? So you're just calling it out and telling him how it impacts you rather than what he's doing and how it impacts himself, or, you know, again, what his behavior is doing.
So
keep with that. And then, yeah, look at those interventions as an intervention with a family. And again, because what you're up against is actually the shame he carries. So he feels better when he has that nicotine in him. And that's one of the primary ways he feels better. But he knows that that violates trust with himself and you. And so he's kind of wrapped in this sort of shame cycle, what he wants and he doesn't want. And he gets really confused. It's sort of like this Romans chapter 7 things, the things I want to do, I can't do, the things I don't want to do, I do.
Yes.
And instead of Romans chapter 8 being, therefore there is now no condemnation, what he has done is he has piled condemnation on himself. And that condemnation is not going to work. Grace and truth need to be applied here, but get professional help because there's a lot of tricky nuances here that a person can help you navigate that through. And we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And that's going to really help you see how you can take greater ownership of this, how you can get better, whether he does or not. So, Judy, thank you so much for calling in today. And let's make this clear. Nicotine is a mood-altering drug in any and all forms and is highly, highly, highly addictive and is highly dangerous to the body. And so I just want to make that clear in case anyone is confused on that. So, again, Judy, thank you so much for calling in. And let's get to another call. Let's go to Janet in Norfolk, Virginia, listening online. Janet, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Janet, what's going on today? How can we help you?
So I'll try to make this short. My husband and I have been separated for a little over a year because I found out he was having an affair with a coworker. And he at first wanted to try to reconcile, but then I found out he was still talking to her about 2 weeks later, and so I asked him to leave. And so he's been gone since then. And throughout the separation, I've not really reached out to him first. Like, I don't initiate any conversations with him, but he'll sometimes reach out to me, and then he'll say things like, you know, he wants to try to work on the marriage, but he's afraid, or you know, he's not sure what he wants. Like, he's very confused about himself. Mm-hmm. Like, he feels...
Has he gotten any help? What has he done in the aftermath of the affair?
Well, he's still been with the other woman.
Okay. So he hasn't done anything.
He did tell me that he's been going to see a psychologist. And,
okay.
Well, actually, right after I found out about it, he kind of spiraled out of control and ended up going to a psychiatric hospital. Because I was very worried for him, and
mm-hmm.
he was there for about 9 days, and they diagnosed him with major depression disorder, and you know, he's been on depression medications, and he's been seeing a psychiatrist and a psychologist.
Yeah, yeah. So
and part of
we're coming up against. Yeah, we're coming up against a break. So Janet, do you have a question for us? How can we help you in your situation here?
Yes. So the main thing I want to know is how long do I wait and wait for him to make up his mind, and how do I reconcile the hope that God can heal and restore versus the reality of what I see?
Yeah. Well, Janet, we're going to go to a break here, but you're asking the right people this question, and we'll get back to it right after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, this is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I have with me in studio Dr. Alice Benton.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, and I have the author of Intimate Deception, Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey.
And we are going to be in studio here for a couple of hours. So if you have a question or concern for us that we can help you with, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Right now we are talking with Janet. And so, Janet, you discovered that your husband was having an affair. He also looks like he's dealing with some serious mental health issues as well. So he's been in a desperate situation. And your question for us is, how long do I wait, and how do I reconcile this belief that God can reconcile the marriage? Is that right, Janet?
Yes.
Excellent.
We met in church. We both believe that God told us that the other one was the person we're supposed to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of this, he has abandoned his faith and is unsure if he even believes in God anymore.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, you called the right spot because I want you to hear from the experts. So, Sherry, what do you think?
Well, hey, Janet, you know, as I hear you, I think back to where I was exactly. In fact, I just wrote a blog called Queen of Denial. And in that, I really owned my own not looking at what was happening with Connor. Because it's really hard to look. And I think a lot of times when we think about denial, I know denial is kind of a tough word, and none of us like to really be seen as being in denial. But one facet of denial can be that we spiritualize things. Mm-hmm. We wait and hope for a miracle while nothing changes on the ground. And that actually is a form of denial. It's kind of cleaning it up so it doesn't look so bad. But the reality is there can't be a miracle when somebody is in sin, when they're acting out, when they're having an affair. So waiting on the sidelines for something to happen is not the answer. There's a woman by the name of Dr. Jennifer Freid that termed something, it's called betrayal blindness. Mm. And her tagline is, you know, while we're fooling ourselves, we're not being fooled. Again, betrayal blindness is, I don't want to look. I don't want to see. I want to keep the secret for myself. Instead of putting a boundary down, instead of saying, you know what? I'm not okay living married and living alone. I didn't marry you for that reason. And so if you're not willing to get into recovery and leave her permanently, and you're not willing to show me proof that you've left her permanently, and you're not willing to address how you've hurt me through betrayal trauma, I'm not interested in staying with a revolving door in our marriage. So what do you think about all that?
I agree. And actually, a couple weeks ago, I finally did give him a deadline. I told him basically at the end of this week, he's supposed to tell me what he wants. And I don't foresee him either making that choice or, you know, doing anything about his situation.
So you know what? You know what, my dear? You just gave your power away.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave it 100% away. It's not about what he wants. It's about what you want. You've got him in the driver's seat, and he's got somebody else in the passenger seat. You're not even in the car right now. So I'm asking you, what do you want in your car? You need to say, you have till Friday. I want you in this marriage. And if you're not willing to leave her and get your own apartment and get into somebody who works on sex addiction or get in with somebody who deals with sexual integrity issues. By Friday, mm-hmm. I am going to file. That's what it sounds like to own a boundary because it's about your safety. Mm-hmm. It's not about what he wants. No wonder.
I guess I was mistaken because I thought that I did have the power because I told him that he had that choice. I said, but it's ultimately my decision if I accept it.
Yeah, no, and I get it. You were brave. You were really mm-hmm. brave to run at it, right? But owning your power says, I've made a decision. I'm not tolerating this anymore. It's been a year. You've got to get mm-hmm. serious with me or I'm going to act. I'm not going to wait until you tell me what you feel like doing while you're still living with another woman. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Well, Janet, we understand that it's
with her. Sorry.
We understand, though, that it's very complex. And the fact that he was hospitalized, that he has major depression, it must really stir the empathy for you and make you think maybe he does need more time or that's why I've given him this amount of time. So I agree. Setting a deadline for him is a very good move. And Sherry's just helping you to strengthen your words and your position so that it doesn't depend on his whim of what he wants, but what he's willing to do and what he's willing to prove to you by his behavior. Now, because Jesus is so complex, I don't think we can give you enough information just in this brief phone call. But we have a Restore Weekend, and it's coming up. It's going to be in close to you in Washington, D.C., November 15th, because we come alongside women in similar positions. We help you build community so that you can keep coming back to women who are walking the same walk to get knowledge, to be equipped, to know now, today, what do I do?
And Janet, we're up against the clock, so we're going to come right back to you after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change. Yeah, that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. We have Janet on the phone. And Janet, we just want to give you a couple quick things here. I'm going to answer the question, how long do I wait? And I'm going to tell you, not another second. You're not going to wait to get yourself in a better position and more healthy. He has proven over and over that his words are untrustworthy, so you do not trust anything that he has to say. The only thing that you can trust right now is his actions. And in fact, Every Man's Battle is this weekend in Sacramento. He has a phenomenal opportunity to show his motivation and follow through with a commitment to cut off this affair and get into his own help. Regardless of whether he does that or not, you're moving forward with your recovery, and therefore we are sending you Intimate Deception. And this is going to really provide you a great understanding and roadmap for you getting better. You know, Sherry has put together just some amazing research, but also very practical solutions so that you can live a better life here. So,
and I was just going to say, guys often in the counsel of other guys will let that affair partner go. They get strengthened to release it and to move into healing. So that's why it's so great to have them with other guys.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And they can see more clearly. The other guys provide them
a mirror.
It's
like the scales fall off of their eyes on that weekend.
So, Janet, thank you so much for calling in. And right now, I want to go to Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, give us an update.
Well, I will, but this is a good segue, because you were talking about Every Man's Battle. And one of the things I like to do is to remind folks what their donations do and the difference it makes in people's lives. And here's one of the differences from Every Man's Battle. I came to Every Man's Battle carrying in nearly 30 years of sexual integrity issues and lies from the enemy. And I want to pause for a minute. When he says sexual integrity issues, a lot of people think that all we deal with is porn there. But it's a lot of other things too. It might be as simple as an emotional, simple. It might be an emotional affair, or it might be chat rooms, or it might be prostitutes. It might be cross-dressing. It could be anything in the sexual area. So I don't want people to think, if I'm not looking at porn, I don't need to go. And then he goes on to say, I'm walking out free to glorify God, free to serve others, and free to redeem the time ahead. There's a path to freedom and redemption. I'm not alone, and you cannot do this by I cannot do this by myself. The connections built here are life-changing. So, guys, this weekend, ladies, your husband, brother, uncle, father, son, whoever needs this, make it. Please make it happen. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. The other thing I want to talk about is financially supporting New Life. We had a great matching gift response through the months of June and July. August has started off a little slow. We overmatched the matching gift and by about $54,000. And we've actually had $37,000 either given or committed to this point to the overmatch. So anybody that has a sizable gift they'd like to make to help us with that overmatch, we'd be grateful. Club New Life, cannot impress upon you enough the importance of it. I don't want to take a lot of time with all the details of the club. I want to say, though, it is a monthly giving program. It's vital to our monthly ability to do what we do. Call our 800 number, 800-NEW-LIFE, and ask about the thank you gifts. Those are books by all of our almost all of our radio hosts. I mean, Steve and Mylon Kay and Sherry, Jill, John, Henry, Dave Stoop, all these books for just joining up. And we've got other benefits to the club. But we need and depend upon that. And we would ask you, sometimes I feel like I'm begging, please join Club New Life. Call. It makes a difference.
Well, and the benefits of, again, the library. I talk about the library a lot, but man, this really is the best of the best. And so the value that you get in return for Club New Life is absolutely incredible. Yeah. And so it is an investment, but there is a phenomenal return on that investment.
And the last word is thank you. Everybody who has been giving, the Club New Life members that give all the time, and those of you that have never made a gift that are going to pull the car over right now and call and make a gift, thank you. We need it.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you for everything that you do. And I want to go back to the phones. I want to go to Eileen in St. Petersburg, Florida, listening online. Eileen, are you there?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. What's going on?
I have my husband and I, we have a 34-year-old son who's married, and he's for 12 years to woman that we love dearly, but we've been alienated from them for the past 9 years.
Oh, wow.
And they have 4 children who don't know us, and we have reached out as much as we possibly can. I've continued for the past 9 years to deliver gifts, which I have to deliver on the doorstep when they're not home. I've reached out to my daughter-in-law and asked her, because I think part of the problem is there. I've done everything, basically, that I think that we possibly can. We begged for counseling or sit down with a pastor, and it's been to no avail. So my question is there something more that I should do, or is it time to let go?
Oh, man.
And if it is time to let go, how do I do that?
Oh, Eileen, that is a really, really, really tough situation. And do you have any idea, or they have not communicated back to you why they have chosen to isolate and alienate from you guys?
Yeah, their response is that they don't think we respect them, that we're too controlling, and our past. And our past is relative to our daughter-in-law, is the older sister of one of our son's best friends who passed away when he was 17 years old.
Mm.
And when he went to college, she's a bit older than he is, and he went to college, their relationship began over grief. So it turned into obviously a relationship. And when he told us that he wanted to marry her, we questioned him and just said, Elliot, are you sure
that this is the right time. You know, your relationship started over grief. We just, you know, we just asked what we thought were reasonable parental questions. And he told her about that, and she received it as us rejecting her.
Oh, wow.
Which is not true. We've known her since she was 8 years old, and we love her.
Wow.
And so that's been a lot of the problem, and I believe that a lot of it is him trying to protect her, is what he says, and he uses what we brought him up to believe, which is you love God first, your wife and family next, and everything else goes beyond it.
So let me jump in. Have you or your husband mm-hmm. been able to have a sit down with your son?
They won't sit down.
But when you say they well, I'm talking about just your son.
He won't. Yeah, we have repeatedly asked. When I reached out to him privately at his office, mm-hmm. he took that as an insult to his wife that I was trying to walk around her. And to give you a little bit of insight, let me share with you that
Really quickly, because we're going to come up against the clock here. So, yeah, give us a quick snapshot.
Okay. I ran into her mom a few years ago, and she said, I don't agree with what they're doing. It breaks my heart. But when I talked to Kristen about it last time, she wouldn't let her mom see the kids for 3 weeks. And she said to me, Eileen, I'm sorry, but I can't risk being you.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Alice, what do you think?
Something really stuck out to me, Eileen. First, the tears that we heard in your voice, the pain of this, and you're thinking you might have to decide whether or not you just release relationship with your son and your grandchildren who don't even know you. Oh my goodness. Oh, and when you said you believe your daughter-in-law feels rejected by you, you followed it up immediately with, it's not true. We did not reject her, and we've always loved her. Now, I don't doubt that you have always loved her, but I think if you're too quick to tell her she's wrong, that she's never been rejected by you, I think it closes the door on her side. So I don't know that she'll ever be open to hearing from you, as she said no all along. But I would ask that you write a letter to her explaining that you understand she feels rejected by you, and you understand that your questioning of their relationship made her feel rejected by you. And I would ask you not to deny that, not to try to justify or explain yourself, but just acknowledge she has felt that way, giving her an invitation. I really want to hear more from you of what else I have done and my husband has done to leave you feeling so rejected by us. Would you write me back? Would you give me some information so that I can take it and I can change what I can within myself so that one day there may be hope for a relationship?
Yeah. Do you hear that, Eileen?
I've actually done that.
Okay.
I've already done that. I did that years ago.
Okay.
Well, and did you say you were rejected, or did you say I hurt you, period?
No, I absolutely did. And I actually had an opportunity once to see her, and I told her how sorry I was that she felt that way.
No, that's wrong.
And we
No. It's not I'm sorry you felt that way. That's sympathy. We'll be right back to talk about what it really looks like to confess.
This is good. Yeah, we'll be right back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn here in the studio again. Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Sherry Keffer talking to Eileen. And Eileen, just the pain of the loss of the relationship with your son and his wife and your grandchildren. That is really unspeakable loss. And but Sherry, you were expressing a concern to her.
Yeah. So sympathy comes across as, "I'm sorry you feel that way," or "You must feel rejected by me." That's telling somebody something about themselves. That's not confession. That's not repentance. That's not being brokenhearted over what you've done. What brokenhearted over what you've done sounds like is, I'm not even sure how you could ever forgive me for questioning the first beginnings of your love with my son. I had no right to do that. I had no right to tell him that you met because of grief. And somehow that's what brought you together. That was so wrong of me. I am deeply sorry that I made a judgment about your first connection. If somebody would have done that with me, I would have been deeply hurt. And I did that to you. And I want you to know I am heartbroken. Because yes, that is controlling. That's what it sounds like. Do you see the difference?
I do. And I wish I could share with you the letters that I've written, and one in particular recently with the guidance of my counselor, mm-hmm. who is one of her expertises. She's a court-appointed family mediator. And it was at her encouragement, because we hadn't reached out in almost 2 years, and it was at her encouragement that we write them a letter. And she helped us compose it. She helped with the wording, and just the response that we got back was very, it was just mean, is all it was.
Okay.
And it was after that last.
I get it. And so you want to send me that letter? You send me that letter, Dr. Sherry Keffer at gmail.com, and I'll look at it. I'll put a fresh set of eyes on it.
Okay.
And I'll spend a little bit of time with you and see if we can. But imagine, she's gotten many letters from you that have been more about your grief and being sorry instead of what we did. But if you've come to a point that you're deciding to walk away, I think even leaving gifts is control. Even leaving gifts is controlling. Yes, I do. Because they've said, don't. And you keep doing. And so it's
no, they didn't. They've never told us not to.
Yeah, so Eileen,
didn't want to see us when it happened.
But yeah, so Eileen, let me jump in here, because their behavior has made it painfully clear, but it is crystal clear that at this time and over this, that they don't want anything to do with you, and I can't imagine the rejection that you feel. I really can't. But it is time to continue to enter deep into the grief and loss process. This is a loss. And I do believe that the more you try to reconcile this and the less that it works, that just the deeper the hurt and the more that you're going to lose your own life in the process. And I'm going to send you a copy of Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. Because I do believe that you're going to need to enter into a forgiveness process. You're going to need to be forgiven, but enter into this. But hopefully that allows you to enter into the grief and loss process and get support through this. I'm so happy to hear that you're seeing a counselor. And I want you to be ready, saying, like, I can't control their behavior. It's clear. So it's now time to let it go so you can move on with your life.
I disagree slightly, and okay. I may be wrong about this, but I think, gosh, as a parent, I think I would need to keep making attempts as long as it wasn't something they asked me not to do. So if they've never said, don't leave us gifts, I probably would still. Probably infrequently so as not to give them a barrage of gifts. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I would stop trying. And I think every few months or so, I would still reach out with a letter of, I want to meet with you. Is there anything you'll tell me so that I can change myself? Because if I heard you correctly, Eileen, that there were 2 years that there was no communication at all. If I were your son, I think I might think, see, my parents are rejecting my wife and my kids. So that's why we have to protect ourselves from them. So I'd have you take to prayer our differing opinions, although I think we agree in part, of not doing anything they have asked you not to do. But I don't think you should give up, but just take your attempts to your counselor to have her review them and decide, now this is pushing the boundary or this is still loving to do, and then take it to God to see what he tells you about what to give up on and what to continue doing.
Well, and you know, my principle, and I love that we're agreeing to disagree,
absolutely.
Is, you know, when God says there's something against me, don't bring your gifts into my temple. Mm-hmm. Go make it right first. And sometimes not bringing those gifts and having there be a sacred pause in all that behavior might create an ache in their hearts as they go, wow, we haven't been open to them. And now they really are going away.
Yeah.
And so it might change a system that hasn't been changed for 9 years. But again, take it to prayer.
Yeah.
Figure out what you want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, Eileen, I hope that was helpful for you. And again, we're going to send you Forgiving What You'll Never Forget. And I hope that really, again, helps you move into this process. And whether you choose to keep reaching out or whether they you choose to back off, I want this principle to remain steady in you. And that is, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Their rejection and abandonment can cause a lot of damage to you. And so I want you to be able to find ways in which you can find support and healing and help as you're going through this process.
And we've got a few more. We've got a whole nother hour, so those that are waiting.
Yes, those that are waiting, stay on the line. We got a whole nother hour. And like we've mentioned before, we have Every Man's Battle coming up this Friday. It's not too late to sign up. There is spots open. And if you are a guy, if you're a man out there, and you are struggling with sexual integrity in any and all forms, if there is behavior that you are hiding and sexual behavior that you're hiding, trust me, we heard a call earlier today. That leads to anxiety. It leads to depression. You are not able to show up in the world as you would want to be or as God intended you to be. This weekend is about opening up a new doorway into healing and freedom that maybe you never thought was possible, or maybe you have been contemplating it for a while. But make the step, get the help and healing that you need. Again, we're going to be on for another hour. So if you're online, if you're waiting online, stay online with us. A couple more things that I want to mention is coming up. We often find ourselves in these patterns that keep us stuck in life. Oftentimes we're stuck in our pain, especially our historical pain.
Yes.
And it creates these really horrible patterns in our life. Failed relationships, a real, like, nasty relationship with our own emotions. Finding Freedom is September 20th in Dallas. And Finding Freedom helps us identify our untouched and unhealed pain, recover and heal from that so that we can show up in the world more free beings. As Galatians says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that's the type of lives that we want to live. And we are here to help you discover that, help you find the freedom that Christ has for you. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for listening in. And God bless. And we will see you and talk with you soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.